Becky and I teamed up to come up with a new resource for your family for the Easter season. It starts 40 days before Easter, so it's something for you to count down and do during family worship time or a school time with your children in the mornings. Becky, tell us a little about the cards that come with it.
So it comes with 40 different daily devotional cards. It starts in Genesis and carries all the way through to the resurrection. And all of the cards are pointing us to Christ. They're all leading up to that culminating event of his death on the cross and then his resurrection. So each day there's a daily reading. So there's a scripture or multiple scriptures that tie together. And then there's just some discussion questions. And I tried to write them in a way was able to be tailored to different ages. So it can work for younger children. If you have smaller children in the home, you can still answer these questions, talk through them with them. And then if you have older children or other adults in your home, you can still have in-depth conversations. It just depends how far you want to go with the answers and things of that sort.
And the resource also comes with a graphic that you can either frame or hang on your refrigerator that says, "I am the resurrection and the life," has a lamb on it and 40 numbers. And then you can just either cross those off or use a hole punch to mark them off as the days pass. But it's just a countdown leading up to Easter. And then once Easter happens, we have a fun He is Risen page that will take the place of the countdown. So this is something that we wanted for our families, a countdown leading up to Easter that you can have that same excitement and anticipation that you have at Christmas time, but for the Easter season. So we hope that this is a blessing to your family. It's on the Fruitful and Fearless website, so check that out. I'll be posting about it in stories, and I'll show you ours too. So anyways, check it out at the Fruitful and Fearless shop, Waiting for the Lamb.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks here with the whole gang, Kate Hutchcraft, Brianna Scroggins, and Becky McNeely. I don't know why it's hard for me to say everyone's name. Why? Why?
I get nervous.
You can say Brie.
Did I?
Cut it to Brie. Okay. You don't have to say Brianna. You almost said Brie. Brianna.
Okay. I don't know what I call you more often. Do I more often call you Brie in real life or Brianna? I think Brie.
Most people do. Yeah.
Is your email Anna?
Yeah. So funny story really quick. I started going by Anna for a short amount of time. And I wrote for our local newspaper, and they would put me in as Anna. Now there is an Anna Scroggins that married Mason's cousin. So if someone ever digs up old newspapers in the future of our family, they're going to be like, "Oh, was my grandmother Anna Scroggins?" No one's going to know it was actually me. So I'm like, Anna, you get all credit for all those newspaper articles that I wrote.
Anything exciting anyone has to talk about as we start? Obviously.
What are you guys drinking?
Becky made us some hot tea. I really like this one. It's very turmeric-y.
Mm-hmm. What do you have?
Vitality?
It's a Vitality one. It's sweet ginger turmeric, I think. Or citrus turmeric or something. I don't know. There's citrus in it.
It's hot. It's very turmeric.
Do you guys say turmeric?
That's what I was wondering.
I usually say turmeric, but then...
Turmeric?
I've heard it like three different ways. Turmeric? So I really don't know.
I say turmeric.
I say turmeric.
Well, I know someone that says turmeric, like wrong. So I don't know which one's wrong or right.
But
nobody knows.
So if you listened to our episode last week, we talked about productivity in the home. So I thought that we should probably make that be a two-part series so that we can be balanced in our approach and talk about rest this week. So if we're going to be productive in the home, we have to also be restful in the home, which is honestly a form of productivity. It's a way to be productive in the home is to be restful. So I'm going to start out with the verse in Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. So not only is rest a command for us, it is a gift. And that honestly is like all commands that the Lord gives us. They are a gift and a kindness and a protection to us. And rest is a lot like that. It is a protection to us in so many ways. I was looking a little bit into the science behind rest and came up with all kinds of interesting things because I have a lot of just observations in my own life of my health and mental state and well-being whenever I am rested versus not rested. So I was like, I need to actually look into this and it not just be evidence-based on my life. But so yeah, so science behind what rest does for the body is fascinating. So when you are resting, your body's resources can go to repairing, restoring, healing, fighting infection, and also restoring your mind. It really is amazing. So there has been a few times in my life that I have felt anxiety like feelings, just like that weird mental state. And at first it's always been after having a new baby, and I've always like been upset about it and not known how to fight it. Well, the past couple babies, Jared and I started to put two and two together that if I'm starting to feel really anxious, that I need to take a nap. And it's been amazing because I'll like be super upset. And then Jared's like, okay, you need to go take a nap. And I'll go take a nap. And then I'll wake up and be like, what was wrong? Why was I upset? And I'm not saying that this is a cure all for every mental instability that you might have, but I've found that in my life, rest is so very important for my mental state. So, yeah, that's some of my experiences with lack of rest and mental health and all that. So, and then also just when you're sick, you often feel more tired because this is your body's cue that you need to rest, because rest is actually a very productive thing for your body to do to fight off illness. And just so many amazing things happen in your body whenever you're resting, whether it be sleeping or just being still and restful. So it's really interesting. And so I thought I would bring that up first just because it's almost like God created us for rest. Not only are we sleeping, A third. Not only are we sleeping a third of our life, but God gives us a whole day of the week that we are to be restful in our bodies. So he's created us with this innate need for rest, for our bodies to be able to do what they need to do.
After I got that, I remember having a very similar feeling to lots of anxiety. Things were very overwhelming. And you shared, and I can't remember, is it Elijah where the angel comes and tells him to take, eat a snack and take a nap?
Yeah.
Just eat a snack and take a nap. And he wakes up and he's like, oh, I'm actually doing okay. Yeah. You're all right. And you, several times now, Jordan has told me, she's like, anytime I'm like, I just feel really weird in my brain, she's like, just eat something, take a nap. Eat something, take a nap. And I do. And it's like magic.
It's almost like we are human with physical bodies that need certain things.
Yeah.
And then when you don't get those certain things, things start breaking down. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. I can't just push through and expect things to all be hunky-dory and be working fine.
Raise your blood sugar. Get some rest. Drink a glass of water.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, I think it's important to remember too, and I feel like I didn't realize that until I had a child, because there's just so much that changes, rightfully so, but your life looks so much different, like pre having a child versus post, that your normal rhythms of rest can just need to shift. And so I don't think I realized how I needed to rest and how I needed to frame my brain around it. So like before, I would think, well, Sunday is the last day of the week. I'll crash and burn on Sundays. Like it was like, well, sat all Sabbath, but like end of the week, like I think my mindset was just very much, I worked a full-time job, did school 5 days a week. And then Saturdays we had a lot going on. And then Sundays I was crashing and burning. And then shifting into mentally thinking about Sundays as the beginning of my week and starting that from a place of resting, convening with the Lord, instead of the day where I'm like just dumping and like we're going to church and then I'm crashing. And I think just even having that like mindset shift for me was huge of I need to prioritize my first, like, if Sunday mentally for me is my first day of the week and I'm starting it from a place of rest in the Lord. And obviously that looks different in different seasons. It looks different if you're a mom or not a mom, or your children are out of the house. And it looks different for different people. But it made a world of difference for me just mentally knowing that I needed to have that time Sundays and start the week from a place of rest instead of thinking of Sunday as the end of my week where I'm like crashing and burning.
Sunday as the beginning of your week. Because a helpful shift for me was the opposite.
Really?
Thinking of it as the end of my week, of thinking I'm going to work really hard for 6 days, be productive in a good way for 6 days, and then not that we're earning the rest, but then
right.
on Sunday, which we take for our Sabbath day, I'm just going to rest mm-hmm. and everything else is fine. And then Monday, it's a new week, start over. So that's funny that what was helpful for you to think of it opposite.
Yeah.
And neither way is wrong. It's just different how perspectives, you different mindsets. But for me, one thing that was helpful was learning that I had to prepare for
rest.
Learning that if I'm going to be out of commission as a wife, a mom, a homemaker, all of that, if I'm going to be just resting on Sunday, that doesn't mean that people don't still need to eat. That doesn't mean that they don't need clean clothes to wear and that we don't need to go to church on Sunday and things like that. So one thing that I had to do was learn how to prepare for Sundays, which means that on Saturdays, or sometimes even Fridays, if our Saturdays are really busy, I'm thinking ahead to, okay, what's a breakfast that I can already have made Sunday so I'm not getting up and scrambling a dozen eggs, you know, so I can go ahead and have breakfast ready to go. We lay out our clothes the night before so there's no last minute panic of, mommy, I can't find my shoes, or where'd you put that bow tie, or whatever. We have everything all laid out for me, the kids, everybody. And then getting everything loaded into the car the night before, too, is really helpful. So you're not trying to balance 100 different things on the way out the door. But learning how to prepare for rest so that when Sunday hits for us, it truly is a restful day. And I can do the dishes on Monday. I can catch up the laundry from Sunday on Monday. You know, it's just one day where we just take off. But if I don't have things prepared, I'm sitting there on Sunday going, well, I need to do these things. I should have done this. I should have done this. Or I'm ending up having to work more than I want to because I didn't prepare well for Sundays. And another thing, too, is just learning to prepare my heart for rest, too. Mm-hmm. Reading the sermon passage the night before or just spending time in the Word, knowing that I'm going into a day of rest and choosing to start to shift my mindset and my heart focus there has been really helpful.
Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So Sabbath is meant to be a blessing to us and not a burden. And I think sometimes as moms, it can feel like a burden if you are trying to make it be a restful atmosphere for your family. And you think, well, my husband's getting to rest, but I'm just having to continue doing all the things I normally do. Mm-hmm. And a way to not feel like that is doing exactly what you said, is preparing for it. And I think of the Israelites in desert when they're collecting manna, and you're not supposed to collect manna for the next day. Or else it'll be wormy the next day, other than the day before the Sabbath when they collect double and it does not become wormy the next day. And it's like God is telling them, hey, prepare for the next day so that tomorrow you can rest. So, I think that it's really important if you want to actually have rest is to prepare the day before if you're going to do a Sabbath rest day for your family, which is what we do as well. Sunday is our rest day. We did, you know, it's different. I know a lot of pastors' wives listen to Fruitful and Fearless, and it is a different experience if your husband is, you know, really doing a lot on Sundays for the church service and all that. It's probably not as restful as a day, but, you know, that's also something that you can get into a trap of like feeling sorry for yourself. It's like everybody goes to church on Sundays, all Christians go to church on Sundays. And you can either feel sorry for yourself about it, like you're not getting to rest or something, or you can see yourself just like any other Christian who's going to serve on Sundays. You know, it's like, you just go, you serve, you come home. And you can have the day still be worshipful and restful. And I think thinking ahead with those certain things to make it be a more prepared day is really helpful so that you can rest. And then just having honest conversations with your husband too. Like, hey, I would like to take a nap this afternoon. How can we, is there a way that we can make that happen? Like, these are my hopes for the day. can I have this block of time to go in the bedroom and close the door and rest? Because as a mom, you have to be very intentional about that. If you actually do want to take a nap, you have to be really intentional about that. And having honest conversations, it doesn't accidentally happen usually that you would get a nap.
Unless everybody is sick.
Yeah.
Downright.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. It doesn't accidentally happen. I don't want to come across as like weird about that, but also you can get like a false vanity of, but sometimes you need to also actually rest and actually take a nap for your body's sake.
Yeah. On the Sabbath specifically, it's helpful. It's been helpful for me to remember that it's the Lord's Day. So I could get where someone, I know a lot of people, like you said, especially pastor's wife, I know some people, they'll do a rest day or they'll say that they take their Sabbath on Saturday or a different day of the week because it's harder being a pastor and pastor's wife to get that rest. But it's just a good reminder for me that while that is the Sabbath, the day of rest, it's also the Lord's Day and it's not about me. And I think back to like the Old Testament, the Levitical priests. I mean, think about what they were doing. My husband always likes to talk about this. Like they were slaughtering animals, right? And they had blood all over them. That was very tiring. Like we complain now, 21st century, you know, super tiring for them. And the women had to make everything from scratch and had way more preparation than we did. And so those are good reminders for me to get my heart right. And then you said something at the beginning too, that rest is a form of productivity, I think is what you said, Jordan. And I like that because it reminded me of the quote in Teaching from Rest. Her name is Sarah McKenzie. I think you read that, Becky, right? You said that you read that book. It's a really good book. It's on homeschooling, but she talks a lot about rest in there. And so it would probably be a good resource for those who are wanting more rest resources. But on page 62, she says, rest is not the opposite of work, but rather work of a different order. So basically, it's work and leisure properly ordered. And that's just a really good reminder for me. The Martha and Mary passage is always a good reminder to me. You know, don't be a Martha. You mentioned that too, Jordan. Like, don't project your stress and your anxiety onto everyone else if you're not feeling rested. Jesus did not give Martha sympathy. He didn't say, oh, yes, Martha, Mary, go help her. Or, yes, Martha, you're right. Mary's sitting here at my feet. He said, no, Mary's choosing the better portion. And I think, you know, you have to do that on Sundays, but you obviously have to do that multiple times a week. You have to pick the better portion. You could run yourself dry and just keep pushing, or you can decide to be a Mary and choose what is actually productive in that moment. And that might mean sitting at the Lord's feet instead of doing the dishes.
Yeah. So in my readings about science and rest and all that, I also read that so people who had rest as a regular pattern in their life had better outcomes of health across all aspects. So not only were they reporting like higher quality of life, like happier people, they had less chronic pain, greater work productivity, and even tended to live longer. So it's really interesting that like people who had rest more regularly were actually more productive. And I see that in my own life as well. Whenever I am not resting or whenever we have a really busy season, I feel like my brain is fogged down and my body is tired to the point that I am not as productive and clear-minded as I typically am. And I think that it's just another cue into like God created us like this to be able to be the most productive whenever we are taking regular rests.
To piggyback off of that, I have two stats that I found from a study, and I would have to look back at how long ago they did it, but it was fairly recent. And the study said that people who, they said Sabbath, but rest statistically live a decade longer than everyone else, which is so,
yeah.
I mean, that's a big difference in time, you know, spent on earth as a healthy human. And then I also found that 84% of healthcare dollars are spent because of bad nutritional choices, inactivity, and unmanaged stress. And so, I mean, that's just
preventable things.
Yes. And especially the unmanaged stress, thinking about how if we're not resting at all and we're treating our body like a machine, something that God never intended for us, we will crash eventually and end up in pain, have chronic illnesses, have, you know, all kinds of issues. I also found, not to derail this, but I thought it was really interesting. I was reading a book a couple of years ago, and I remembered that the author talked about this. It was a book on, basically, I don't want to really endorse it because I wouldn't endorse the author to anyone necessarily, but the book kind of focused on focusing on your family in a way that culture does not typically do currently. So like he came at it from the idea of a Christian father who wanted to make his family a team for Christ and have the home be a life-giving place. And it wasn't a bad book. I just am not going to endorse the author necessarily, but in the book, he talked a lot about different cultures that have failed, or like emperors who have failed, or rulers, because they set an unrealistic precedent of work for the people in the country. So in 1929, when Stalin was in charge of the Soviet Union, he said the machines need never be idle. And so he created a work week for all the eligible working individuals, and assigned everyone a different color and symbol, which told you your schedule and your day off, with no priority to, you know, whether there were males and females on different schedules. So it was a 11-year span of that work cycle. And research showed that there was never a collective day off for, like, culturally. Like, I feel like in America, culturally, our days off are Saturday and or Sunday most of the time. Sure, there are lots of jobs that require, you know, there to not be those kinds of days off. But apparently, it was very damaging to families. Productivity suffered because everyone was suffering. And the machines also were shutting down because they never stopped working. And so it was one of those things that you read and you think, you know, kind of ironic, because in some cultures, we're more rest. Some cultures do rest really well, and some cultures do not. And we're typically a culture that seems to either idolize a bad version of rest, where it's just like a bad version of self-care all the time. And so you're not actually resting at your core, or the people that never rest and just work 24/7. And so I just thought that was interesting, because if the machines literally shut down when they're tired,
right?
And we're not going to need that. So I just thought that was interesting, not to derail our conversation, but
yeah.
I mean, his 11-year experiment failed drastically for his, what he thought of as his empire should not be resting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that it's cool just that God created the world with a certain type of order and a certain type of need. And whenever we war against it, and not only is it bad for us, it's like not glorifying to God either. Yeah. It's a clear example of our disobedience. And I was just curious, what are your guys' thoughts on, like, why is it that it can be hard to rest sometimes? What is at the core of, like, why as Christians do we war against rest sometimes? I know, but like for me, I try to not even do dishes on Sundays. Like, I prepare for that by, like, the dishwasher is empty and the sink is empty Sunday morning, but they pile up really quickly because there's a lot of people eating a lot of food a lot of times a day. But it's hard for me. Come like 3 o'clock, I'm like, dude, I'm so, because it's hard for me to have a full sink. But like, what? Why do we war against resting so bad? Like, why is it so hard for us just to wait? Like, it's okay, they can wait, the dishes can wait, the things can wait, and I can rest. But why is it hard, and why do we war against rest?
I think a lot of times for me, it's because my workspace is my rest space.
Yeah.
So when you have a pile of laundry and a pile of dishes and a pot, you know, things are piling up on Sundays as they should, but it's one of those things where I, unless I'm leaving and going somewhere to sit or we're going on a walk or something, I just see the work, you know, waiting. But I think at my core, it's just my sin nature problem. I don't want to stop because I think if I stop, well, there's always something to do. And I am a doer and I don't like to not be doing. And so just having to reframe my brain about rest being out the production that I should be doing on some days. So for me, it's just a sin thing. Yeah. Like
it doesn't feel productive.
Right.
Like if I had a little like battery thing on me that I could like see it powering, see it's working, I'm doing something. Did I have you ever play Sims as a kid?
Yes.
I just had
that. Oh gosh, yes.
Mental image of I just need your little whatever they needed.
Yeah.
You know? And then when they get really desperate, then you're jumping on my arm that is like, is like my little battery power is charging. And like my happiness is charging, like I'm getting hydrated.
But all that happy, the bad part would be everybody could see that too. I'd be like, wow, mom's really tired.
It's a private thing.
Okay. Maybe it would be good though. Then they'd be like, oh, don't ask mom for a snack. She's real low.
She needs water, actually.
Give herself sleep first and then ask her the question. That's funny because Mason was just listening to The Sims music last night while doing the dishes. He loved listening to The Sims music. It's actually really good jazz. Really phenomenal. So go back and listen to it, guys.
I'm going to have to look. I've never heard this said before that I really love The Sims music.
It's good music.
Do that as our exit song for the day.
Yeah, Jared, can you please add in The Sims music? Cue it now. But yeah, why anything else? But yeah, mine is sin. But yeah.
I think sin. I think it's been a problem forever, obviously. But I think more so in our current culture, we are really addicted to like the dopamines that we get just of our like tech crazy society. Because even if you're not a workaholic and you're not getting your dopamine fix from that, say you're a lazy person. I think we have so many lazy people right now because they do what? They veg out on their phone and their TVs and playing Sims. You know, things like that. And same thing can go for like, you know, being around our house. It's like we constantly need that like reward and pleasure. And it actually... it takes a lot from you to sit in your thoughts and to be still before the Lord. And that can be uncomfortable for many reasons, you know, whether it be you're battling sin. And so sitting in your thoughts with the Lord is a little bit too much and overwhelming, or you have a stressful life, or you have something heavy looming over you, or just simply you haven't practiced it. Like you don't know how to rest, you know, I think the enemy would love to keep us busy, right? He'd love to keep us rushing through life and go, 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 so that we are distracted by the most important things with a false productivity. Whereas we know like the most productive thing that we can invest our time in is our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with others. And that is not something that is like a checklist. Relationships are messy. They don't. You know, they take more effort. They take more expense. They are unpredictable. And I think that it's really not to get so heavy, because I feel like I'm getting heavy now all of a sudden, but like it is so deep. It's a spiritual warfare. We've been going through the armor of God here at our home with the kids. And so it's been on my mind a lot anyway. And I've also had the opportunity to take care of my mom. Her health has been bad. And so I have the rare privilege at 31 to be like my mom's primary caregiver. So she's been living with us a lot. And even when she's not living with us, I'm still taking her to appointments. I'm still texting her every day, making sure she's taking her medications and making sure she's eating. And that takes a lot of time and a lot of patience. And it's unhurried me in a lot of ways. And it's made me even reevaluate my productivity in the home. And even my rest, because it's like I have to look at my day and say, okay, Lord, what have you given me this day? I offer it to you like the boy who offered the fish and the loaves and God multiplied it. I just expect God to multiply it, because most days I wake up and I don't have enough time to rest or to school my kids or to take care of my mom. let alone look at my phone. But I've really had to eliminate those things. And while it's been a very difficult season, it's also been super beneficial for me because I've had to eliminate a lot of distractions, whereas I wasn't forced to eliminate those before. So I kind of went on a tangent there, but I really think we're really addicted to pleasure, like pleasing ourselves, and sitting down in our thoughts is boring because we have so much distraction right now in our life with technology mainly.
Jordan and I are reading the book, Dear Mr. Hemlock, right now by, is it Tilly?
Dillahay.
And in there, in the reading of that, it's been wild, eye-opening to see it play out, and how things like spiritual warfare and things like that can play out in a woman's mind. And as you were talking, Brie, about, you know, us being addicted to dopamine and, you know, things like that, how much easier would it be for us to just do the dishes and believe the lie that could be whispered in our minds of, but if you leave the dishes till tomorrow, they're all going to rot, or you're going to have hours of dishes to do. When in reality, it's going to take you 20 more minutes. It's really not. When you look at it from just a numbers perspective, how long is it actually going to take you to do those dishes? But what plays in your head? It's, oh my gosh, I'm going to be so behind. I need to do those right now. It's going to add on so much
work. We have work to do.
No, you could do that. But what does that do? If we get up and we're doing the dishes, what are we doing? We're not spending time with our children. We're not spending time with our husband. Or if the children and husband are sleeping, you're not spending time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And our bodies don't just need, we're not just designed for physical rest. We're designed for spiritual rest. In Matthew 11:28-30, it says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And Jesus is our rest. He freed us from the burden of sin, and now we can rest in his finished work on the cross. And it's a much deeper kind of rest than any amount of earthly sleep or rest could ever be. But if we're in, like you said, Bria, a stressful season, sometimes we think, well, I just need something to get my mind off of things, or I just need to stay distracted. No, what you probably need is time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to seek out that spiritual rest. You don't need to do that one more load of dishes. You don't need to do that one more load of laundry on your day of rest, especially if you're in a season of extreme overwhelm or a lot of things going on. What you really need is spiritual rest. And then in Hebrews 4, we see that there's a great rest coming. And one day we'll be at rest once and for all as we enter into the joy of our master. We're going to be free from the burden of sin and find that ultimate forever rest as we're in perfect communion with God. But until that day, we rest physically and we seek rest spiritually, knowing that it's all temporary. So our bodies are going to get tired again. Just because we nap on Sundays doesn't mean we're going to never need a nap. And the rest of the week, we're not going to need to rest. But
darn.
Right. Right. And our souls are going to feel heavy again. Something else is going to come into the day that's going to weigh us down, or news is going to come that's going to hit us hard. But each day we can come to drink of the living water of the word. We can lay down our burdens and sleep or rest on our Sabbaths. But as we do that, we're eagerly awaiting the day that we rest forever and we're free from the effects of sin. And we get just little glimpses of that on Sundays or whatever your Sabbath day is. It's not just resting so we don't have to do the dishes. It's resting so that we remember we have an ultimate rest coming. And sometimes in really hard seasons, just remembering the truth that this life is not forever is so, you can find so much rest in that and think, okay, I can soldier on another day. I can soldier on another week. I can soldier on another season. Resting in good intervals, right, on our Sabbath, or for us, we always weave in a quiet rest time during our day where the little people all nap, and then I can sit down, read a book, catch up on Bible reading if I have it. My oldest will sit and do Legos or something quietly, you know. So we have those rhythms that we can weave into our day, but we know that great rest is coming, and we can look forward to that with joy.
It's awesome.
That's good.
And even in our preparing that we talked about, preparing for Sundays, it's like
the mom is the one, you know, doing this preparing. It's encouraging to me thinking about how it just hit me one day when I was reading my Bible that Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. It's like, man, Christ is preparing for me. And how comforting and encouraging that is. It's like one day we will be in this perfect place where work, although there will be work for us to do in eternity, a different kind. The labors and the toil of this world will be done, and we'll get to enter into the joy with being with Jesus. And how cool that will be.
And what a blessing that we as moms and homemakers get to mirror Christ in that way. Mm-hmm. Of we get to prepare our homes for rest. We get to prepare our families for rest, just as Christ is preparing a place for us to rest. I've never connected that. That's really cool. Learn.
So practically then, what are some things you guys do in your daily rhythms, weekly rhythms, Sabbath prep? My first one is just go to bed at night. Step one is go to bed at night. So I think a lot of people stay up really late. And if you know the Sparks family, we do not stay up late.
We're the ones that go to bed.
Jared will kick you out of his house.
Jared, he will
say, see you later. Time for us to get ready for bed.
Yeah, he will kick you out. And if you've been to our house for dinner, you probably have experienced Jared being like, all right, well, that's a wrap. See you later.
I know. I love it.
But when you have people in your home a lot in the evenings, you kind of have to get good at telling them it's time to go. If you go to bed early, because we get up very early in our house. That's just the rhythms of the Sparks home, is we all get up very early and start our day really early. So that means we go to bed early, and that is our rhythms. But if your family is different, if you sleep in, that's fine. That means you get to go to bed a little bit later. But if you get up early, then you can't stay up late. I'm just trying to say you have to sleep. So you need to get in that right amount of hours of sleep for your body. And that needs to be like 7 to 9. And for some people, that needs to be more. If you're pregnant, you probably need to be sleeping more than that, even at night. And you just need to go to bed, and you need to go to bed early and know that that's okay. And it's okay if you go to bed at 7 o'clock at night. Who cares? Go to bed. Get the rest that you need for your body. So that's tip one, is go to bed.
I kind of wrote down a few things about, I was kind of thinking, since my kiddo is so little, she'll be 3 in May, so she's really little. And so she's still napping, but I know that that day will come where there's no more napping. So she'll be, like you said, Becky, doing maybe quiet time activity, or they make these timers that you can buy online where kids can go in their own space and they know when the timer goes off that their rest time's over, what have you. I know that works for some people. But one of the things I was thinking about was, how can I rest on Sunday, and how can I teach my kids to rest on Sunday if we haven't practiced little glimpses of rest throughout the week? So that doesn't mean like every day I get an hour to read while Audrey naps, or, you know, I'm getting to do exactly what I ideally would be doing for rest. Sometimes we're just taking a walk before nap time, and I know I have things to work on. But I have recently started trying to train her in a lot of different areas that are appropriate for her age. So she's being helpful in the home, and she's coming alongside me as I'm organizing. That's something I'm reorganizing our home, because I didn't have time to when I worked full time. And so I'm finding that since I'm home all the time now, a lot of the things that I didn't even pay attention to, like systems and organization, are not working. So one of the things I'm trying to do is reorganize, so that way I'm not thinking in my brain that closet's a mess on Sundays. I'm not thinking, man, that closet's a wreck. I need to do that. I need to reorganize our garage space or what have you. So I'm trying really hard to spend as much time as I can throughout the week and having Audrey help me organize, and then getting in a cleaning rhythm to where everything is kind of revolving around a normally scheduled, Mondays I do this, Tuesdays I do this, you know, loosely scheduled, because sometimes things come up or we are out of town or whatever. But that's been huge for me, because then I do have time, maybe even it's 15 minutes to carve out in the afternoon to sit down and read a few pages of a book, or I can walk or sit on the porch, you know, by myself for a few moments. And that's been really nice, because I'm getting our systems of organization and cleaning and home management in place. So I think sometimes for some people, if you're like me, you maybe are at the beginning of reorganizing, or you just moved and it feels like there's a lot of work to do. But getting systems in place, getting cleaning schedules in place, I think can really help you to be able to prioritize rest, because your mind is not filled with, there are giant projects to do all the time, you know, and just realizing that there's always something pressing to do. There will always be something. But I think having your kids help you and getting them into a rhythm of rest as well during the week can set you up for success on Sunday. Like if you know, if you're prioritizing practicing off and on, practicing rest for them, practicing rest for you, whatever that looks like, then on Sundays, it's a little bit easier to think like, okay, well, we've practiced this. Remember, you know, you're going to play quietly for a little bit on Sunday. You can play in the living room or go to your room and read your book or whatever, but we are also going to be resting. And this is our rest day. Remember how we practiced on Monday and when, you know, remember how we practiced a few times this week. So I've noticed for, especially having a toddler, practicing is key. And whatever she sees that I'm doing, she will do, which is humbling and very, it's humbling.
Yeah.
And it's also, you know, really gives me a view of my own sin at times, but she also mimics things that I'm like, I'm glad you're mimicking that. That's good. I'm glad that the Lord's using that. But I think, you know, training yourself and training your kids and setting yourself up for success with like cleaning systems and planning, it has been huge for me. Anyway, so that was a really long tangent, but planning.
Yeah, those little moments of rest in the afternoon are a good rhythm, I think, just for your well-being, especially for families who homeschool and you are on duty 24 hours a day. There's not a moment that you're not working, kind of.
Yeah.
So having, we do the same thing, a quiet time in the afternoons, having a moment that you are able to, and sometimes, a lot of times, I am just folding laundry and listening to an audiobook during that time. Or if I'm lucky, I get to sit on the couch and read. But that is rare. It's usually I'm doing something, but just having time to be restful, even if it's mentally, in my day. So I think that's a good rhythm for rest.
If you have a hard time with that too, one thing that I did when I came home full time, I tried to be way too productive and I stressed myself out. And Brandon had to call me out on it. And he's like, you know that you're not on, you know, like summer break or spring break from teaching. Like, you are your own manager right now. Like, you don't have to be working yourself into the ground like this. But one thing that was helpful for me, because I felt guilty if I sat down to read a book, or I felt guilty if I was, you know, if Brandon would walk in from one of his breaks from work and I wasn't doing something, I was like, oh my gosh, I got caught sitting here, look, you know. And some of that was just too much hyper productivity that I needed to calm down and deal with. But one thing that was helpful for me was, once the kids were sleeping or resting in their designated spots, setting a timer and saying, okay, I'm going to sit and read for 30 minutes.
Yes.
Because I know if the baby's napping for an hour or hour and a half, whatever that is, 30 minutes of me sitting down and reading is not going to hurt anything. Nothing's going to come undone in that amount of time. So if you're having a hard time getting into the groove of learning to rest and you feel fidgety or guilty or whatever that is, you just set a timer and say, okay, I'm going to sit and read for 20 minutes, or I'm going to sit and fold laundry for 15 minutes or whatever that is, just so that you have, it can help get your body into it's almost like forcing yourself to rest.
Yeah.
You know, saying, I'm going to choose to do this for this next amount of time.
That's good. Some things that I do to prep for Sundays is lay out clothes. So everybody's clothes are laid out. And then I try to make sure our breakfast is prepped. And recently I've been doing a puff pancake, like putting all the ingredients for it, even the liquid and the flour, mixing it all up and putting it in a jar. So literally all I have to do in the morning is pour it in my cast iron skillet and pop in the oven. Or I'll do muffins or egg bites. This week we did egg bites and they're all done and in the fridge, and then you just have to warm them up. So some kind of breakfast that is low maintenance on a Sunday morning I try to do. And then a lot of times what I'll even do is prep a crock pot meal the day before and have everything for that meal in the just the crock pot, the crock pot, the crock part of the crock pot, and just stick that in the refrigerator. So in the morning, all I have to do is put that in my crock pot and turn it on, and it's done. And then another thing that's been helpful for us is I make the exact same meal every Sunday night, and it's homemade pizza. And we just, and my family all looks forward to it. And we watch America's Funniest Home Videos and eat homemade pizza. And that's our routine every Sunday night. So it's easy for me because I have a lot of, I'll make the pizza dough up in bulk and then store it in the freezer in Ziploc bags. So I just have to grab one out the day before and stick it in the fridge. And then I buy pizza sauce in bulk from a journal. And yeah, I just always have the ingredients and I always know that I'll do that on Sunday night. So those are all things that have kind of been helpful as far as the things that we have to do, like get clothes on and eat food on Sundays. Those are prepped and ready and easier for me on Sundays.
We do the same thing. So I always prepare breakfast the day before, and we do very similar things. That learning about a Dutch baby pancake was so, it was life-changing, and my kids love it.
Yeah,
you can even make like a little berry syrup to do, and you can have that in the fridge already. Life just warm that. But we do breakfast like that. I do a crock pot meal, and I would get to my meal planning and think, I need to think of a crock pot meal. What's a good crock pot meal? And finally I thought, you know what, every Sunday I'm making a crock pot meal. Why don't I just, in the commonplace of my planner, why don't I just write down our favorite crock pot meals and then just put them on a rotation? So I have our favorite, you know, 7 or 8 crock pot meals, and I just rotate through those. And so every Sunday it makes the planning so easy because it's just, it's kind of brainless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not that you want homemaking to be brainless, but there are some parts it's helpful to be autopilot with, you know. But we do that. And then for us on Sunday evenings, we do breakfast for dinner. And because those are all, breakfast is also pretty easy. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the like pancakes, and I'll have a mix made, or waffles or things like that. And I bulk prep my mixes like almost quarterly or so. But we'll do breakfast for dinner, and then we do a family movie night. So it's very, very similar. And on Sundays too, so our oldest is 6, Jack, and he does not take naps anymore. If he had his, well, he's full throttle all day other than the rest time that is mandated, you know. But on Sundays, we all nap. We're all in our beds napping for Sunday afternoons. And for him, he doesn't like to sleep a whole ton, but he'll just grab a whole big stack of books. Like, as long as you're in your bed and you're reading quietly, if you want to sleep, sleep. If you don't want to sleep, you don't have to. But knowing that we're all just going to be down for the afternoon is helpful. Not that you have to. You can, there's freedom in rest. We are not the Israelites. We do not have strict rules for Sabbath. You can be sitting on your porch sipping a cup of tea, and that's rest. Or you can read a good book, and that's rest. But not taking a break from your regular work is what rest is. So don't, if you're listening to this, you're like, I don't want to nap on Sundays.
I was thinking that we should do an episode just on crock meals.
Oh,
like, wait, it is the same line. We should do just a crock.
We should. To add to what you're both saying, the only thing that I don't know, it's been mentioned, but since we do family integrated worship, I pack everything that we will possibly need the day before is all sitting on the counter, because I know we will need fruit and snacks and fruit and snacks and little activities, and maybe a dump truck or something that fits in the bag. So I just know, and I actually have Becky, you inspired me, but in our pantry I have a tote, and it's all of the activity type things, so she doesn't have access to that unless I get it out.
Yeah,
so it's all of her little, she's got like pre-K workbooks, like little dot to dots that she likes. We've got all kinds of like dot pop books and little, all the fidgety things and the little toys and the little trucks she can play with. And I have stuff set as, she does have toys out that she can play with.
She's not toys.
She does not touch the toys unless it's Sundays.
No, I'm just kidding.
But she has special things that I've set aside, and I rotate them out every Sunday. So she has different things every Sunday, but usually she doesn't have access to any of that during the week. Anyway, that's been really helpful for me too, because I know where all of it is, and I go to a specific place and just know, you know, I'm grabbing like 5 things that I didn't grab last week. And we go through a lot of coloring books and that kind of thing. But that's been really helpful, because I don't know what it is, but when I wake up on Sundays, if the bag is not packed, something in my brain short circuits a little bit when we're trying to eat and make sure everyone's got, like, you know, socks and stuff. And so that's just been something that's been really helpful on top of setting out outfits and just doing as much as you can before.
You guys have said a lot of mine, but I think my most recent and favorite tip is to eliminate your distractions so that you can rest. Becky, I think you mentioned it on the last podcast that, like, taking inventory of your day and what you're doing each day is a good idea, like, log it. And I did that, like, a few months ago, just took inventory of, like, specific days, took inventory of the week, like, what are the things we do all the time, and then what am I finding myself doing a lot? And I eliminated a lot of distractions, technology being one of them, my phone. So not just, I mean, I'm off social media, but I also really, like, I set up my Apple Watch to where only certain people can get through to me at a certain time, because homeschooling for kiddos, I constantly would get distractions from family or church, and that would, then my mind would go there, and then I'd be overstimulated. And then I felt like, you know, you have kids at your homeschooling, you have a house to maintain, then you have these people texting you, and some of it could just be little tiny things, but all those minutes add up. Mm-hmm. And we can all view our screen time on our phones. And sometimes that's scary, but I will say, since I have limited lots of distractions, like the phone being one of them, I looked at my screen time the other day with my husband, and my screen time is an hour or less on average now. And that includes reading books. And I've already read 2 books on my phone this year. So I'm like, praise the Lord, we've eliminated that distraction. And we've never been a really big tech home. Like, you don't see a TV in our house. We've got one in the basement. We use laptops most of the time, but every little minute adds up. And I grew up in a, like, very non-restful, non-peaceful home. And so much of my adult life, especially once we started to have kids, was evaluating. Well, I watched a lot. I watched the people that did have peaceful homes. And I became very observant, because that's not what I had. It was so radically different that I was forced to observe. And so then even in my adult life, I had to kind of take inventory of what do we want our house to look like? Like, how do I even attain peace? You know, like, I know it comes from the Lord, but what do people mean right. when they say that? You know, like, what does that mean? It should show some fruit, right? So that has been my biggest thing is, you know, give the people in your household your eyes. Don't always be in front of a sink doing dishes. Don't always be in front of a screen. I'm looking at your phone, whatever the distractions are. And that, you know, Jordan talks a lot about boundaries without saying the word boundaries. Like, Jared, I watched him when we were at Christ Church in our younger years, right when we had just had our first child. I watched Jared and I thought, that's really cool that he just is like, all right, get out of here. Some people might have been offended by that. I was like, go, Jared, you know, like, and I still think about him to this day when I'm telling people, all right, you got to get out of my house now. It's time for my kids to take a bath, you know. So you have to have those boundaries in your life. Like, you know, if your Sabbath, if your Sunday, you guys have mentioned, you know, pizza and movies, if that's what your Sunday looks like, then don't let people come and wreck that. You know, sometimes people are going to come and wreck it for good reasons, but you know what I mean. Eliminate those distractions. Don't be afraid to set your boundaries. That's just my biggest one and probably my only one, because you guys have said much of the other ones.
I'm going to ask a question that's controversial. So, and because I genuinely want to hear what your guys' thoughts are in it. So, you know, the tradition of, like, a big family Sunday dinner? That feels not restful.
Yes.
And I am all about, like, a big family get together. I love my family and I love getting together and I love eating good food and I love cooking a bunch of food for them. But I don't want to do that on the Sabbath because it's not restful and it would literally take up the entire day for my family and we wouldn't be able to rest. So tell me your thoughts about this. I could be way off, but I'm like, I have 6 other days that we have people in our home a lot, and I hope that we're being hospitable to them. But sometimes I wonder about, like, the tradition of, like, after church on Sundays, going to grandma's house. Like, man, I love the thought of that.
And I love being grandma and having all the people in the home. And maybe at that season of my life, it would not feel tiring, you know? But just right now in my life, I'm like, man, it feels like that wouldn't equal my family not resting if I was to have a big Sabbath dinner on Sundays after church.
We actually did that for a while, and it was not restful. Even if we weren't the ones cooking, it was not restful. Mm-hmm. And it was really helpful for us when we moved to just protecting Sundays as a family. If something comes up on a Sunday, unless it's something, you know, I don't know, really emergent, or like you said, breather might be, you know, very anomaly kind of situations. But I can probably name maybe a couple Sundays this last year where we weren't home resting together as a family. And I think there's so much attack on just the family unit as a whole. Having one day where it's just your family unit and you're spending time resting together, worshiping together, resting together. I think it's important. And I think I'm coming home and doing a big dinner where if you're the one putting it on, you're going to be, you know, you're kind of risking Martha territory there, right? You're kind of
shifting yourself. Yeah.
Well, we're kind of playing with fire here because that's supposed to be a restful day for you too. And yes, you should not be fussy about it. But also maybe not put yourself in a situation where you're going to be heavily tempted to do that every week. But I think mulling that over, but I would say for us, it would be a hard no. No, we're not going to do that. And like you said, you've got 6 other days. If you want to do a big family dinner, do it Saturday night.
Right.
Like do a big family dinner Saturday night, getting ready to celebrate worship in the morning and then have your rest the other time. But
yeah, I mean, I think it's probably different for everyone. And like I said, if I was a grandma and had a lot more time on my hands, I could probably do a lot of stuff and have everything prepped and ready. And it might be a blessing to all the family to come over to eat at my house and then leave the mess till Monday. And I'm sure there's ways to do it. But I just know that right now in the season of life, I'm like, man, I wish that was something, but it can't be right now. And that's okay.
I think like you said too, Becky, it doesn't have to be Sunday. Right. You know, if everyone would protect their Sunday and make that as restful as possible, you wouldn't have that issue and people would be doing it. Like we have friends who do it, I think like a Thursday or a Wednesday, they go to their parents' house and it's, you know, them, their siblings, and they all go and have a dinner. With my husband's family, Sunday was their day. And I think still primarily they would want that to be their day, but we've had to say no just because my husband's a pastor and it's a very long day, especially if we're then going to their house. And so that's a boundary that we've had to put up and say, we really want to be with you guys. Can we do it during the week? You know, or can we do it on a Saturday? And sometimes it works out to where we can, sometimes it doesn't. But the Sundays that we do go over there, or we go anywhere for that matter, it kind of does throw the whole week off, to be honest. It just doesn't flow well. I don't know why. I mean, I do know why, because that's Sabbath, you know, you should be resting. You should be. And I guess too, it's like, well, it's just hard if you're not in your home and you have little kids, especially, it's hard to rest. It's like, they need naps. They're off schedule. And yeah, maybe it would change when you're a grandma. Maybe, but then I think you have to be careful though. I think the Wilsons talked about that, like Nancy Wilson and Doug Wilson talked with their kids, their grown kids, at like a round table type thing, and their in-laws. And I think Nancy, as the grandma mother, said, you know, like when we invite people, it's an open door, like you come over, but it's, you never feel like you're obligated to come. Like the invitation is there, which I don't think they do Sundays. I think they do like Saturdays, but anyway, the invitation is there, but you shouldn't feel obligated. So I think that's a good place to go. Like if you're going to do that and you want to host that and you think that's fine, or your family loves that, good and fine, but don't get mad when, you know, the other family is like, see you later. I'll be napping on my couch.
Yeah. And you really do rest differently at your home versus somebody else's.
Yeah.
You know, even if somebody else has a really comfy couch, it's not your couch.
Right.
You know,
no,
and you're going to sleep and rest differently. And, and there'll be a certain amount of quote unquote on that you feel when you're at somebody else's house too. So taking that into consideration, and I don't know.
Cool. All right. Well, that is our rest episode. Hopefully you guys all feel restful and that you are looking to Christ for your true and final rest. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.